In your professional career, don't ever be afraid to go talk to somebody new because it really can open up those doors. Having a conversation, whatever it happens to be, don't ever be afraid to open up those lines of communication and open the door to talk to somebody.
Continuing the PT Pinecast college tour, we went to Wingate University in North Carolina. Or is it Wingate? Well, we get to the bottom of that in the episode. Talked to four professors from there and had some great conversations on a variety of topics inside the world of PT. The first round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, the single source for PTs seeking certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. OwensRecoveryScience.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPinecast. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPinecast. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
This is
the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are live once again. Taking the PT Pinecast on the road, doing our college tour in North Carolina today. We are home of the Bulldogs, right? There we go. Now, I've needed help pronouncing the name of the school because apparently I've said it wrong several times. So just, you can yell it out. Is it Wingate?
Yeah.
Or Wingate? All right. We're just trying to get to the bottom of that. We'll discuss that at the brewery later. Going to talk about some notable alumni from Wingate University. How about NFL linebacker Kiwan Cummings, played for the Jets up in New York, yeah. Writer for SNL, Kristen Bartlett. Four-time Grammy Award winner for the Metropolitan Opera, Anthony Dean Griffin, came right here from Wingate University. And former United States Senator Jesse Helms is also a notable alum. Today we're gold and blue for this episode of PT Pinecast at Wingate University. All right, so I have to tell the story. So while we were recording this, I was supposed to fly in yesterday. And what happened was apparently we got hit with a nor'easter. I'm from New York, so we got hit with that. And I had to fly in a day early. So jumped a flight, flew in early, everything's gonna be fine. I'm already 24 hours early. Nothing can go wrong after that, except we're supposed to come here around 1 o'clock. I like to take my time. I was a Boy Scout, arrive early. We got here a little bit late because as we were driving here, you know when you can take the car, the key fob out of the car and it still runs? Well, my colleague and I were driving here and we realized halfway here, the key fob was actually with her husband in Charlotte. So we're thinking at any moment we might be just extending the thumb and trying to get, is anybody going the way to Wingate? Because the van might not just start again. So we were crossed our fingers, but we made it here. We're excited to see you guys. All right. So we're going to bring up some guests. We're going to talk about what makes Wingate University Wingate University. And here we go with our very first guest. All right, here we go. Making her way to the stage right now. Let's see. Assistant professor here at Wingate University, board certified in neurological physical therapy. She holds her certificate in vestibular rehabilitation from the APTA and is an impact trained physical therapist. Graduated from Ithaca College. It's gorgeous. She doesn't know how to put headphones on. We'll get there. Take your time. Yeah, we're fine. They go on your head. Got her DPT from Des Moines in 2014. Currently enrolled in the Doctorate of Health Science program at the University of Indianapolis. Welcome back to the show for a third time, Becky Bliss. Is it weird?
Yeah.
You can say things like, this is weird. This is my show. Nothing's normal here.
It's like sensory overload inside.
Do you want me to turn down your headphones?
No.
No, you want to keep them on? Okay. Third time on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming back on the show. So background. So Becky was actually on episode number 34, and that's when I met you at National Student Conclave, if you want to go back to that. You were presenting at National Student Conclave in Omaha.
In Omaha in 2015.
2015. Yep. I was still a student. And thank you for being nice enough to say yes to a very random student, me,
yes.
For saying, hey, can I meet up and buy you a beer and interview you in a bar? And you were like,
sure.
No hesitation. Sure, why not? What can go wrong? And we had a killer conversation there. And I wound up writing papers in PT school on concussion, vestibular things. I liked it, and I emailed you off the cuff, like, hey, do you have an article or two on vestibular concussion training? I got a zip drive filled with articles. We had I figured I needed 3 weeks to do my research. Well, the research was done.
Don't tell Dr. Risley that I gave you articles.
No,
you didn't find it yourself.
No. I found it myself. Just links of things to be suggested. And then we had a movie coming out, and I figured, why not put real life into practice? There was a pretty big topic that was and is still going on in conversation among sports, which is concussion, the NFL, the Will Smith movie comes out, and I say, ooh, I know who to talk to. And we did an episode on that where you saw the movie, I saw the movie. And then really my question was, how close to reality was this? Did they get it right? What did they, you know, kind of fudge in Hollywood style? And I think the verdict was they pretty much did it kind of down the middle, right? I
mean, down the middle. Yep. Yeah. A little bit of sensationalism, a little bit of good research, and somewhere in the middle.
And a little bit of the Fresh Prince doing some good acting right
there. Bel-Air. Yeah. Absolutely. Will Smith.
So you were in Kansas City.
Yep.
And now you're at
Wingate.
I just wanted to make you say it because I'm still not sure how to say it.
I get corrected.
Yeah. So now you're here at Wingate. And how's it been so far?
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
I think I've had the most professional growth of my career in the last, April 1st will be a year.
Wow. So. Yeah, let's hear for that.
Yeah.
A year? Wow, that went fast.
I know.
Yeah. And so you're actually doing stuff all over. Can we give a tease of what you're going to be doing on Saturday? So as we record this, it's Thursday, and on Saturday, we're going to be at Duke University. There's going to be a little bit of a conclave going on. The entire state we've got the young lady who's helped putting that together, Bryn, in the audience. The entire state of North Carolina, all the students are coming, about 300 students. This is the first time you guys are doing that, right?
First ever.
300 the first time. And you're not going to be there.
No.
But you might kind of be there.
I'm presenting from California.
So how are you going to do that?
So the topic is telemedicine. And when they first approached, hey, would you be interested? And I said, well, yeah, but what's the weekend? And I looked at the weekend and I was like, oh no, I'm going to be at teaching a CEU course in California.
Right.
I'd love to do this, but I won't be in the state. And then I think, Brian, you said, well, the topic's telerehab. Like, would you Skype or I could Skype in? And so ding.
Killer idea.
Makes sense, right? To see how it all works. So we are actually going to WebEx, which is better than Skype because they're going to show my face during the same time of the presentation slide. So they'll actually get to see me rather than just a voice behind the presentation.
Yeah. And while podcasting is a lot better for me because you don't have to see my face, it's just the voice. Right?
We just talked about that today, right?
Yeah. So that's really cool, putting it into practice.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see how it goes. We're going to do a test run tomorrow night. I fly out and then I have to get up at dark 30 because it's at 8:50, but that's really 5:50 in California.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be an early morning.
What's your bold prediction for telehealth? It's one of those hot button topics.
I think it's the future. In doing research for the presentation, I've done some research myself, just a case study, completing telehealth for a patient who was post-concussive, who had no access to a vestibular therapist. And so it was partnership for interprofessional AT on the ground at their university, and then me in Kansas City. So this was like remote rural Missouri. And we were able to do an eval via Skype.
Wow.
Check in every week. She was held accountable for her exercises, going to the AT room, got up with a cervical physical therapist to get some of the manual treatment and some of that rehab, and we just did some check-in, and she did great.
Wow.
So I think it's the future. The VA has already owned it.
Yeah.
If you look at the VA has got all the research out, what patient populations it's working really well in, and so the VA's got it. The problem is the legislature, and that's the biggest thing. Hopefully with the licensure compact sure. throughout the United States, we won't have that issue with cross-state licensure issues.
Right.
And so I think that's going to open a lot of doors. I have on the negative side had people, because I presented the poster at our fall conference last year, and I had some people say, well, you're taking away that connection. And so I don't think it's going to work for everybody, but the people remotely that have issues with transportation or even preventative medicine, before that patient gets to the point where they may need to be hospitalized because of a secondary impairment, that's a really good way to go.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But
you're saying the people in Washington are slow to change.
I don't want to talk politics on this.
Yeah, you'll be on a flag so. To watch us. But fortunately or unfortunately, we know that the VA typically leads the way with a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Because of necessity.
Yes, because veterans are all over the United States. In the rural areas, they don't have access to care, and so that's the best way to check in. They yeah. have done great programs for exercise with Parkinson's disease, patients with Parkinson's disease. They've done traumatic brain injury, checks in with mental health. As well. So telemedicine's happening, even in Kansas City where I was. KU Med was the big mecca of concussion treatment, and there was a neurologist there, but then has anyone ever been to Kansas? It's, if you go to rural Kansas, rural Kansas, right? There's not very much there, and for medical care and providers, they don't have a lot of specialists sure. out, a lot of generalists, which is much needed in rural, which Dr. Schultz may be talking about maybe on Saturday,
yeah.
but they would do telemedicine, but the big thing for providers was there needed to be a provider on either side of the camera. And so as long as there was a provider, then they'd share. But then there's the question of billing.
Sure.
Who bills? How do you bill? Who gets reimbursed? Right now in the state of North Carolina, they're saying it's okay if a PT is on either side of the camera or this, you know, Skype or whatever it happens to be. So there's got to be a PT on site and then the PT distance. So if you need a specialist, that's how you can maybe tap in and get access to maybe some, you know, other ideas or specialty care.
That's the future, though.
That's the future.
Talked about a PT-AT relationship in concussion rehab with your case study. That's kind of like one of your things. Are you going, or did you just get back from an AT conference?
I just got back, so I was at
very hard to keep up with her travel schedule. I'm sorry.
I just got back from Omaha, Nebraska. So went back to Omaha, the Mid-America Athletic Training Association, District 5. So in the AT world, they have districts and they all come together. So instead of state associations, and they still have state associations, but then they come together as districts. And they invited me out to do a talk, and I actually gave three and co-presented with a AT about the PT-AT relationship and teaching them strategies, especially a certain outcome measure called the Vestibular Ocular Motor Screening Tool. It's the VOMS. Came out of University of Pittsburgh in 2014. It's been validated. It's got great psychometrics for a 5-minute early screening tool to identify vestibular and ocular deficits following concussion that lead to early intervention. And so, you know, think about the history of things. People would watch and wait. Okay, you're still dizzy. You still have a headache. You still don't feel great. Just kind of rest. Well, we know that that's moved on. Now active recovery is where we're going. The question is, when do we start active recovery? So that's the current research question out there that keeps coming down through literature. But the big thing is the ATs are the first ones to see it. They know the athlete's the best, and they go and check in the training room every day. So if they have a screening tool to identify right. these, can we help prevent post-concussive symptomologies?
Right.
Can we shorten that time? And so there's been a couple of literatures out there. One was a feasibility study about dizziness, so early intervention for dizziness post-concussion, and it actually showed almost a 2-week difference in return to activity, return to play, when PT was initiated early at that 10-day mark.
Wow.
So if we can identify it early, instead of letting these kiddos just sit or athletes sit and wait it out, then we could potentially have a huge effect.
It's funny how when you look back, of course, hindsight's 20/20, but it was either walk it off,
mm-hmm.
just suck it up, or shut everything down. And now we know we're somewhere in that middle of that bell
yep.
curve, but we keep saying, where do we need to be? And obviously each patient, each situation is different. So we need to make sure we know how to assess. We need that baseline. And, you know,
do we need a baseline?
I don't know. You're pointing at me and you look very inquisitive. I feel like I'm taking a test. I don't know. Do we?
Question is, that's the question of the day. There's some indications out there that baseline isn't even 100% valid. Some of the baseline testing. So it's good to note a comparative, but do we need one? Potentially not, because we're starting to walk the walk of actually have assessment tools to see what's really going on afterwards. So it's not potentially needed. It's nice to have to make sure that we're returning that person.
Here's what I was going to respond with. This is my go-to answer in PT school. Depends.
What do we say as instructors? It depends.
Yeah.
They hate that answer.
We did your preview of the teaser vestibular ocular rehabilitation conference that's coming up in August in
International.
Chicago.
International. Yep.
Man, you got some frequent flyer miles doing all these conferences.
Kind of. Hopefully to get some points. Yeah, the international, first ever international vestibular rehab conference is coming up in Chicago. That is the brainchild of Sue Whitney. So she's from University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And so the big thing about that is to keep it intimate and small. There's about 400 participants, so it is limited seating, and bring people internationally together in the first ever conference in the United States.
And that's across disciplines too. So you're gonna
correct.
Get, you're going to get who? Who's going to be in the room?
Audiologists, potentially neurologists, vestibular physical therapists, occupational therapists. We're looking across the way.
That's really fun. Are you presenting, absorbing?
I am just on a committee to get all the posters organized.
Just on a committee, like Ashley says that. I'm just on a committee.
No, we just want to make sure all the exhibitors, so we've been soliciting for funds for exhibitors as well as getting all the posters.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there listening wants to submit a poster.
Say your email address.
To share. Email address probably best way, or to look at the Academy of Neurological Physical Therapy's website. We have a little thing that you can click on to submit a poster, but my email address is r.bliss@wingate.edu. Okay. If you're interested, but we are looking for poster and presenters to share their research or current trends or ideas and things like that. There's a whole bunch of different categories.
Cool. Since you came here almost a year, what makes Wingate Wingate?
The students. Oh. Absolutely. It's a different feel. The program is very student centered. I think it's one that takes care of itself and takes care of each other, which is really, really nice. Professionalism within the department is 100% where it needs to be. I think I said that to the first class that I ever taught here was the professionalism was just totally like ironed out from day one, which is really, really nice because we're moving into that culture. You know, you're emerging into the physical therapy culture. So how do we get that and how do we walk the walk?
Yeah, I was taught that early in my program. Our professors, you know, impressed upon us, really, you're going to be my colleague in like, you know, 2.5 years, depending on where you're in school. Like, so start acting like that now.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
And then you always think like, well, I'm going to need a letter of recommendation.
Right.
For jobs.
Right. So when a professor needs some help with research on a Saturday, maybe get out of bed, you know, hit a Gatorade hard and then go to that research. Don't throw it. Don't tank it. Right.
The other thing is service. And I know that we'll get Dr. Rizzi will talk about her program that she started and Dr. Swigum's Carolina Twisters, the service, the extracurricular activities and what the students give of themselves is absolutely phenomenal as well.
And that's kind of the pitch or anyway that I make when I call a school and I say, hey, so I have this weird podcast thing. And sometimes I have to describe what the podcast is. And again, my dad still has no idea what a podcast is, but his son has one. And then I say, every PT school's the same, right? Because you have to hit certain benchmarks to be accredited, and you know you're teaching for the same exam, but they're not. And that's why we like to come here, because I want people to explain it in their own words, in their own environment, with their own students sitting in front of them. And I think that, you know, that's why I always ask that question whenever we're at school. All right, absolutely. So you know what's coming. You know what's coming next, right?
Parting shot.
Parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation, their mission to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
So apparently you didn't prepare, even though you've been on the show twice before and knew this is always a thing. Guests who are coming up shortly, this is your heads up. There is a parting shot. What would you want to leave with everybody out there?
In your professional career, don't ever be afraid to go talk to somebody new or a stranger, because it really can open up those doors. Having a conversation, hey, it's nice to meet you, I read your article, or hey, it's nice to meet you for any reason, after a presentation or whatever it happens to be, don't ever be afraid to open up those lines of communication and open the door to talk to somebody.
Because the first 18 years of my life, it was don't talk to strangers. Now you're telling me to go the other way. Becky Bliss, everybody.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Snapchat.
At PT Pintcast.
And online at ptpintcast.com.
I want to thank our friends from Arias Medical Staffing as we continue the PT Pintcast College Tour, now in North Carolina. And yes, they have positions here as well. All 50 states in the United States is where they can get you doing what you want to do, where you want to do it, with Arias. AURUSmedical.com. Placements in all settings. And again, want to stress, doesn't cost you, the therapist, anything to get placed with Arias. 100% free.
free. You love free, don't you? You can go from assignment to assignment or take some time off in between assignments. The freedom is all yours. Aureus, that's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. You are now free to be a PT anywhere in the country. Thanks to our friends from Aureus.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are still at Wingate University. And continuing the show here. Very, very excited for our next guest. And let's see who we got here. Next guest worked at MD Anderson Cancer Center for a decade as a clinician and a researcher. The class of 2016 voted him the initial recipient of the Student Impact Award. Blame it on the bubble wrap. I have no idea what that means, but we're going to figure it out. I like those things. Next guest on the show is Steve Morris. Steve, welcome to the program.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. In the intro, blame it on the bubble wrap. I don't even know where to go, but I like when we're stepping into something I'm not sure what it is. So what does that mean?
Well, the first semester that I taught at Wingate, I was teaching physiology, and the class was not really responding to me very well. I asked a lot of questions in class, and someone had left some bubble wrap on the podium. And in a moment of completely unstructured creativity, I grabbed the bubble wrap and I asked a question. And someone actually knew the answer to the question, and I put some bubble wrap in front of this student's face, and she looked at me like, what is this? I said, go ahead, you get a pop. And so fortunately, she picked up on it pretty quickly. And I tried to bring bubble wrap to class after that, and you know, people started getting pops for an assist if they kind of helped to answer a question. Assist. Now the students also insisted that I hand out pity pops, and I don't really remember all the reasons.
What is a pity pop?
You know, they felt sorry for
someone. Gotcha.
Maybe if it was a birthday, they got a pop, and so it kind of took on a life of its own. But the real upshot of all of this was the day that they announced the award was the hooding ceremony. And so they announced the award, and I walked right over here to get the award. And as I did that, the class of 2016, not only did they stand up, but before they stood up, they all reached underneath the seats, and they pulled up a piece of bubble wrap
yeah.
And gave me a farewell bubble wrap pop.
You got a pop. Let's hear for that.
Pop.
Also, in a psychosocial segment of a PT class focusing on death and dying, you were selected to report the group's findings because, quote, you were the one closest to death and dying. That was a quote.
That's a quote. Yes, I remember it well. I was, when I started PT school, I was probably twice the age of everyone else in the class. And there were six of us males, and we kind of hung together. So it was the last semester of the program, and it was a psychosocial class taught by a clinician, a clinical psychologist. And he was great. He really got all of us guys to talk. Typically, we wouldn't have said a word. But the last class had to do with death and dying, and he broke the class up in groups and gave us each a question to answer. I have no idea what the question was, but then he asked somebody from each group to report back to the class with their findings. And my group appointed me, and I said, but I always report back to the class for this group. And this one of my colleagues, he was all of 24 years old, looked at me, didn't even miss a beat. He said, But Steve, you're the one closest to death and dying. You can report most expertly.
Yeah, that was nice of him.
That was very generous of him.
This is similar. I was voted class president in PT school because I think I was the only person in class legally allowed to be elected president. 35 years old, natural born citizen, no felonies that they knew of.
No felonies that they knew of.
So yeah. So worked at a cancer center for how long? A decade. Clinician, researcher.
I spent a year at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. It's one of the NCI recognized cancer centers in the country. I did outpatient care. I worked primarily with recipients of stem cells. Most of them had hematologic tumors. I did some pulmonary rehab, worked with patients who had lung cancer, or I did a lot of prehabilitation with patients that were going to have lobectomies, and we tried to get them ready for surgery to better withstand the rigors of surgery. I did several research projects with the stem cell recipients trying to establish norms for outcome measures. Another project that I was particularly interested in, it comes back to sort of advanced practice, was a surgeon was using the Da Vinci device, the computer-driven surgical techniques, and she approached me about arm positioning because she was trying to resect the parathyroid, and so they had the patient with the arms over their heads for a couple hours, and it was a pretty challenging position, and a couple of patients actually had some brachial plexus injuries. So she asked me to come up to the OR and help figure out how to position their arms to limit injury. And so after I positioned patients' arms, I'd hang around in the OR and try to look like I knew what I was talking about. But it was really interesting because the patient would be on the table and there would be three or four people around the patient. And then there would be a device that looked like a spider that was coming down. It had all the, it was right over the patient's neck, and it had all the tools that the surgeon would use. And please note, I haven't said where the surgeon was.
Right.
Well, the surgeon was about 15 feet on the other side of the OR in what looked like a little cubbyhole, and they would sit over there, and she would move all the controls for the lighting scheme, the device to actually do the resection, the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day she was trying to teach a fellow how to do it. And I hadn't really thought about this, but the fellow was trying to play this video game, essentially, because all when you're in this this cubbyhole, all you could see was a video screen. And finally, this surgeon, wonderful person, unbelievable patient skills. She could walk into the OR and in 30 seconds, she had full control of that patient. She had the patient's complete confidence. But she was standing by the operating room table and things were not going very fast. And finally she says, "Damn it, quit hitting all those tools against one another. You're never going to get finished." And so there's very little space in there to move those devices. And so this fellow hadn't quite figured out the limitations of the space, but that was very interesting. I didn't do much orthopedics there, although we did see some patients that had osteosarcomas. I treated a couple of hemipelvectomy patients.
Wow.
where part of the ischium had been resected, and the surgeons had crafted some incredible hardware to actually link the femur to the pelvic girdle.
Wow.
And that was we could get them to walk. The problem with these hemipelvectomy patients was getting them actually upright. We had to put them on a tilt table and then raise the tilt table, and then they could go rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's a lesson that you took out of that experience that you still kind of carry with you today?
Is it the tilt? We should all have tilt tables.
Yeah. I want one. Everybody go out and buy a tilt table. No. One of the PTs, there, Nagma, told me one day that this was the most divergent patient population that she had ever worked with. She treated lots of patients. She did lots of things. And she said that no other patient population that she had ever worked with was as appreciative as these patients. Another story, if I have a moment.
You've got all the moments you want. You're in charge. You look at the audience right now. Hanging on every word.
So another patient that I remember. I'm going to tell two stories since you've given me that option.
You're in charge, man.
So another patient that I was working with had breast cancer, and she'd had a mastectomy, and we were trying to get her to recover her range of motion. And so I was working with her, and she looked at me, and she said, I don't have any problems. She said, the woman down the street with the kids that has ovarian cancer, now she's got a problem. And that was a theme that I heard repeated numerous times in the patients that we treated at MD Anderson. And this last story I'll relate. I had the pleasure of treating a retired high school football coach. And he actually had played collegiate ball in the early 50s at the University of Houston, was offered a professional football contract. But they didn't pay him enough money, and he wanted to get married. So he turned down the contract and started teaching school and coaching football.
To put that in perspective, no to the NFL, yes to a teaching salary.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. So that was the perspective there. So he actually had a terminal a hematologic tumor, but he still came down, and we actually hit it off. And So his wife would bring him to the gym and say, Steve, I'm tired of him. Take him off my hands. And so we would go do whatever we were going to do. And then when it was all over with, I'd call her back and said, okay, I'm tired of John. You've got to come and get him. So she'd come and get him. But and he was great fun to work with. And as all football coaches have, he had an incredible array of stories. And so one of the stories that I remember was one of the kids had done something wrong, and he was going to get special treatment when practice was over.
Oh, special treatment.
He was going to get to do the roll drill. So the kid didn't know what the roll drill was.
Can't wait to hear it.
And so the coach said, come on, let's go over to the football field. And they walked over to the football field, and they walked up at one goal line, and coach told him to get down on the lay down on the ground. And the kid said, well, what am I going to do? Well, you're going to roll down to the other goal line. And the kid said, well, how long do I have to do it? And the coach said, oh, until I'm tired.
I love stories like that. I think those last two stories you told, they definitely show perspective. And, you know, in terms of the first patient, in terms of saying that I don't have a problem, someone else actually has the problem. I think that's definitely a lesson that I would have held on to from something like that. I'd like to appreciate you telling that story.
Patients with cancer are a truly unique patient population. They face challenges that other patient populations simply do not face. The treatments are very demanding. It's a disease that now is a chronic disease. It's not like it was 30 or 40 years ago, an absolute death sentence. But nevertheless, it's a chronic disease. The treatments are harsh. The treatments after effects of the treatment can linger for months, years, or even reemerge decades downstream. So it's in the PT world, it's a very unique patient population.
Yeah. Well, thank you for telling those stories.
You're like welcome. That. Yes.
Why is the bed not your patient's good buddy? Can't wait to hear this one. I don't know.
I actually heard one of the returning third years say they told one of their patients that.
So this is something the Wingate students know well.
They've heard me say this on many occasions. But we don't want our patients to be inactive for a number of reasons, and we need to encourage them to not be in bed, even if they're sitting on the edge of bed or sitting in a bedside chair. That represents, for many of these patients, an exertional demand that approximates exercise. And so it preserves muscle mass. It may or may not have any impact on bone mass, probably very little, but they're up. It provides improved pulmonary function. It helps preserve, if not increase, muscle mass, something a lot of people don't think about, but patients oftentimes don't want to be in bed when they have, when they're hosting guests. They want to be sitting up and at least looking halfway well, not completely ill. So out-of-bed activities help them prepare to meet their guests and gives them a little bit more sense of a normal life.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, we want to preserve muscle mass in these patients, because when they leave the hospital, if they're going to another facility, we want to be able to send our patients to another facility, to another PT, in the best shape that we can possibly send them to.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah, the bed is not your patient's
not
good buddy.
Not your patient. It's
yeah.
Not at all.
Are you on Twitter much?
No, I okay. don't. I don't.
Because the next topic I'm going to bring up actually has its own hashtag. Do you know your big hashtag? No, never mind. So the hashtag is vitals are vital. And the topic that we wanted to get to is even orthopedic, you know, physical therapists need to take vitals and blood pressure. So why is that? Why is that something that you champion?
Oh, this is the other thing I champion, is measuring blood pressures, because as a profession, we have fought very hard for a number of years to gain direct access to our patient populations. And I feel pretty strongly that that gives us a unique responsibility for our patients. We may be the only healthcare professional to see these patients. Just getting back to your comments about rural communities, certainly in West Texas when I was in Lubbock, there were communities where PTs were the only healthcare professionals. So with the significant number of Americans who don't know that they have hypertension, we need to be identifying patients who are hypertensive, and again, for two reasons. One, to identify patients who have undiagnosed hypertension. Now, we're not going to diagnose the hypertension, but they're going to, we can refer them
sure.
to an appropriate medical type. The other reason that we need to take blood pressures, regardless of our patient settings, is that a very interesting study came out of the Kaiser group in California several years ago. They've got mega data, and they
sure.
did some mining. So they asked questions about how many anti-hypertensive prescriptions were written. And so they were able to calculate how many millions of prescriptions for anti-hypertensive medications they'd written. Then they asked the next question. How many of those were filled?
Ooh.
50% of them were filled. Then they ask the next question, because the prescriptions were written for the patient to come back 90 days later to get a refill, and they had enough data where they could ask questions about the refill data. And of the patients that were eligible to get refills, it was only about a quarter
wow.
of those eligible. So by the time it was all said and done, only about 25% of the patients were getting their prescriptions for antihypertensives. Now, this doesn't say a thing about whether they were taking them correctly or even taking them at all. So with the number of Americans with undiagnosed hypertension combined with the number of people who have diagnosed hypertension but are not taking their medications correctly, it's a public health issue, actually,
sure.
and it's a heart health issue.
And so. How long does it take?
Well, if you do it correctly, it should take somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes,
right.
but not many clinics will allow you
sure.
that much time to
yeah.
take it. So just use the right cuff. Just use the right cuff size, right?
All right, we're going to hashtag that. Vitals are vital. Are you ready for your parting shot, Steve? Were you prepared for this at all?
No.
Okay.
This is the parting shot.
The parting shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation, their mission to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
All right, Steve, the parting shot is really your last opportunity to say something to the audience being either people here in the room or people listening on the internet.
Okay, now I know you're wanting some really heartwarming comment, but as president of the oncology section of the APTA, I would like to remind everyone that this time next year we hope to have specialty exam ready for recognizing a specialty practice in oncology. For those that successfully pass the exam, it will demonstrate to the world, just as it does with geriatrics and pediatrics, that this is a group of PTs who have truly unique skills and unique knowledge needed to manage and to treat those patients who've had a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, I love that.
And I've already said that cancer patients are a truly unique patient population.
I appreciate you stopping by and giving us the warming our hearts with that parting shot right there. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Morse.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Our home on the internet.
PTPinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.